Jack wandered off to watch the dart throwers, eventually insinuating himself into the next game. The rest of them stayed at the heart of the crush around the bar, enjoying their drinks, enjoying the evening. After the excitement of Emma Tyler and her interrupted act, the Lincoln Inn had quieted down. The whores circulated, some of them bare-breasted, lifting their ragged skirts to show prospective Johns what they might be buying. The card games were proceeding, with the occasional imprecation as an attempt to draw to an inside straight met its inevitable failure. A few of the shantytown locals were interested in the group of outlanders, a couple of them fascinated by Ryan's powerful handgun, asking if they could take a look at it.
"Sorry, nobody touches my blaster."
But there seemed to be no ill feeling. Everyone had a second round of drinks. Around a quarter hour later, Clinker Scales passed by and touched Ryan gently on the shoulder.
"Could be trouble brewing."
"That last group that came in?"
"You spotted them?"
"Trader used to say that a man who doesn't keep his eyes open won't get to see his death coming. They came in together, nine of them. Now they've split up."
"Yeah, ones I mentioned before, cold hearts, heavily armed with sawdowns as well as hideaways."
"You reckon they could be scouting for Baron Sharp, Clinker Scales?"
"He pays well for unusual strangers, either to work in the Ville or as part of his collection."
"And we'd be no use to them dead."
"It depends on what they want, Mr. Carter. I gotta guess they could be after that girl."
"Emma Tyler?"
"Yeah, Mr. Lorne and Miss Roth. Something a bit different about
them." "Hey, we're getting thirsty down here, Pete."
"I'm fucking busy!" "Be careful, Ryan. I can't afford to fall out with old Sharpie. You take my meaning?"
"Of course. I'll collect everyone together and we'll go up to our rooms. Be away at first light. Thanks for everything you've done for us."
The two men shook hands.
"It's good to hear about Trader. There's still a few folks around here remember the man with thanks in their hearts. A woman I met a year or so ago around the hole claimed she rode with him."
"What was her name?"
"Can't recall."
"God damn it, Pete! What I gotta do to get a drink?"
Clinker Scales gave Ryan a quick smile and went back to work. Christy walked up behind Ryan.
"Trouble?"
"Could be. Gang that he mentioned earlier, before we ate. Went out, now they're back. Two over there by Jack. The rest are scattered. One's alongside Doc, watching the main poker game. Find Mildred and JB and we'll get out of here upstairs. I'll collect Dean, Doc, and Jack."
"Fucking cheating mutiny!"
"Oh, great. What now?"
"By the dartboard.
Jack."
"Yeah, you fucking cheat! You best come outside with us and we'll teach you good!"
Jack was standing at the board, his hand poised to pick out the trio of steel-tipped darts.
"What's the problem with you two?"
"No mutie throws that good. Never fucking missed one, Snowbird."
Everyone was watching the drama. Ryan and JB looked around the room, trying to pick out the rest of the group. JB had spotted the gang when they came in through the swinging doors, just as Ryan had. But all the friends had their weapons drawn, all except Jack. The slender youth in his ragged camouflage jacket was standing still, as though he were petrified with terror, his fingers just brushing the flights of the darts. The two men who'd called him out were both over 6 feet, broad-shouldered, in patched shirts. One had a sawed-down scattergun tucked in his belt, one hand resting casually on the stock. The other had a remake revolver in a worn holster. Ryan could easily have gunned both of them down, but that wouldn't flush out the others in the gang. He had to wait and let Jack make his move.
"I didn't cheat."
"Course you did, shit for brains, little runt! We both saw you!"
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan glimpsed Emma Tyler's pale face peering around the edge of the door at the side of the bar. Her golden eyes were open very wide, and she looked to be terrified.
"Come on! Outside, Whitey!"
Jack made his move, plucking the darts from the board and throwing them. Almost too quick to follow with the human eye.
"Holy shit, you see that?"
The darts were enough to devastate the two men, putting them totally off balance, even though the injuries caused by the darts weren't all that serious. There were two more blurs in the smoky air as the teenager drew a pair of his concealed throwing knives, hurling the leaf-shaped blades with murderous force and accuracy. The gaudy saloon erupted. Tables went over, poker chips and Jack went flying through the air. Virtually all of the men hit the floor, some of them struggling to draw guns and knives as they went down. Whores flopped among them like helpless landed fish. The man that Ryan had been watching had a long-barreled pistol out and cocked, aiming it at Jack. but a burst of lead from JB's Uzi converted his skull into a mist of blood, splintered bone, and brain. Doc noticed that a skinny, balding man standing next to him had pulled out a small, beat-up automatic pistol and was aiming it at Ryan.
I think not.
He dropped at Doc's feet, which still left five of the gang of would-be assassins on their feet. Ryan shot down one who'd drawn a Saturday Night Special from a holster inside his long jacket, the bullet going neatly in one ear, coming out a lot less neatly through the jaw. There was another of the gang near the bar. He had a Derringer up each sleeve on spring releases, and they popped into his hands. To gain a better shot at Ryan's group, he began to clamber onto the bar, ignoring clinker scales and his sawdown, which was the last mistake he ever got to make. The barman didn't even have to move. He jammed the twin barrels up into the man's groin.
Huh? You won't be needing these.
Six were dead or dying, three of the gang remaining alive. Mildred and Dean took out the seventh killer. Christy retreated toward the stairs, trying to take in everything that was happening. One of the last two survivors suddenly appeared.
Move, bitch!
No, you don't.
His body jerked under the impact of the .38 caliber rounds and toppled backward down the staircase.
One left.
Ryan looked around the saloon, seeing only the panic of the living and the stillness of the dead.
Where is the son?
An arm crooked around his throat, and he felt the sharp tingle of cold steel against his neck. A tiny worm of warmth trickled down across his chest.
A move and the one-eyed bastard gets it. Him and me are walking out together.
Don't be fucking stupid, asshole. Just let me go.
Fuck you, pal. You heard me. Nobody fucking move or else I'll slit his throat open.
And you get to die slowly and painfully.
Fuck you, Four Eyes.
JB gave Ryan the moment he needed.
Hey! Bastard!
Whew! That's all nine. All right. Everybody can get up now and go on home. We got some cleaning up to do. We'll be open again tomorrow for business, as usual.
Ryan backed away toward the stairs, stepping over the corpses, avoiding the pools of congealing blood. Clinker Scales came after the companions, still hefting the sod down.
That's it.
Way to go.
Gone, Mr. Lorne, soon as a bullet started flying.
Don't blame her. Bad scene, that.
Clinker Scales nodded, a slight nervous tick jerking his head to the side.
Oh, it was the worst I ever saw. One time, traders' men ride by, and, well, it's like they always said.
What?
What? Where traitor set his foot, the flowers died, and nothing ever grew there again. And it's the same with you and Mr. Dix.
You asked us to stay, not our fault.
Yeah, well, maybe not, but... No, shit, I'm tired. All right, I shouldn't have said what I said, but that chilling was the worst... Look, just go in the morning and don't come back.
He turned away, then hesitated.
Hey, take care if you ride near Baron Sharpsville, hear?
During the night, after everyone had field-stripped and cleaned their firearms under JB's strict eye, they discussed whether to return to the redoubt or explore a little farther.
I'm interested in this Baron Sharp, man with his own personal zoo, including two-legged animals. Sounds like someone we should go visit.
You can't clear up every piece of dirt in the Deathlands, babe. It just isn't enough time.
Oh, enough bullets. Did well saving that young woman.
I hope she got away safe.
Mildred looked behind them at the shacks and tents of Greenhill, three quarters of a mile back. Smoke from dawn fires smeared the land to the south.
I know she was innocent, but they'll see her as the trigger for what happened last night. Blame her for the spilled blood.
It was a cool morning, with streaks of high cloud slicing across the pink-blue sky. There had been a shower during the small hours, and the ground smelled green and fresh. The furrowed track ahead of them showed the characteristic ribbon effect of earthquakes, winding down a hillside between the scorched ruins of a few buildings.
Rad counters on orange, Ryan. Best we get away from here in a week or so.
Yeah, right, JB. Haven't seen anything yet around Washington Hole that'd make me want to stay here for too long.
The clouds thickened. The threat of some serious rain swept in from the north,